Welcome to 2024. This is the beginning of a new year, and we're excited about all the things that God is getting ready to do personally, and I'm excited about everything that God is getting ready to do in your life, and I know your expectation is very high for that. Now, around this time of year, not only if you're around for the last episode, you heard me talk about how people are always setting those goals that a lot of people don't end up fulfilling partway through January. They're going to the gym, and partway through January, they end up going back to sitting down on their couch, binge watching Netflix, and eating crap. But another thing that happens around this time of year, and that's going on currently in the body of Christ, is a lot of people begin to dedicate their year to the Lord through fasting and prayer. This is the time when many believers are taking the time to push away worldly distractions, push the plate away, and begin to go into a time of prayer and fasting. Many people do it for 21 days. Some people I know are doing it for 2 weeks. But many people take this first month of the year to get direction from the Lord on what to do, what He would like you to go, what steps He would might like you to make this year. And that is biblical. The Bible says that you should not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. And that could help a lot of people, because human tendency and human logic will tell you, you do this, you do that if you want to be successful. It will tell you to do things that make sense to the natural mind. However, God's ways, the Bible says, are higher than man's ways. God's ways and God's plans don't always line up with man's plans. The direction that God wants you to go in does not always line up with the direction that your mind tells you to go in. The Bible says that a man has many plans in his heart, but it's the plan of the Lord that will prevail. So, as a believer, you have to make sure that you don't become a person who relies solely on your flesh and on your mind to guide you. Because as a believer, you're guided and led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So you have to make sure that even at this time of year, you are taking the time to ask the Lord, what steps would you have me to take for this year? How would I get to a place of success this year? How would I get to the end of the year and be able to say the Lord has done great things for me, instead of getting to the end of the year being like, well, we're going to have a do-over again next year? How do you do that? One of the ways is through fasting and prayer. And I want to get into this today and show you a couple benefits of this powerful practice that's found in Scripture. Because there are a camp of believers that try to explain it away and say, you know, the church doesn't need it today. You know, people use fasting and prayer as some type of lottery for God, and something to armbar God into doing something for you. That's not the case. That is not the case. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but people take issue with that and say, you know, you think you can get certain things through fasting and prayer. You know, I'll just do it by faith. You know, I'll just do it some other way. And that is true. That is very true. If you want to get something that you've never had before, you have to do something that you've never done before. There are certain things that you can't get without doing certain things. Not every single thing that God has for you is just available to every single believer just like that, and they'll receive it. Or should I say, it's available to you, but not every person is going to receive it. Because not everybody will put in the necessary steps and the necessary work to receive that thing. So people try to explain away fasting and prayer and say, you know, we don't need that. You don't need that. But their life looks like a life of a person who does not fast and pray. There is a difference between a person who puts this practice into place versus a person who does not do this. And you see through Scripture that people who added fasting and prayer as part of their spiritual disciplines, their lives look different. Look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry on a fast. 40 days. the Spirit led him into the wilderness to go on a fast. And he came out full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So people think, you know, oh my gosh, Jesus had such a great and powerful ministry that impacted many people. Well, there were certain steps that he took to get that. There are certain steps that he took to get there. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, had to be full of the Holy Spirit. He had to dedicate himself to prayer. He added the spiritual discipline of fasting. There are certain things that he did to have as powerful as a ministry as he had. And you see that move over into the early church. They did not make great impact just out of the blue. They did not make great impact just because, you know, solely because they walked with Jesus. The apostles were connected with Jesus. It didn't work like that. Judas walked with Jesus and look how he turned out. There were certain steps that they took to see the success that they saw. So fasting and prayer is one of those things. So let's start here, first and foremost. As I said earlier, we do this as a means partly to draw closer to the Lord and take the time to push away other distractions, push away things that would tend to the flesh and take a period of time to focus solely on God. Because many people during their days are centered around their flesh. Their days are centered around the desires of their flesh, and many people don't even know it. So there comes times where you have to make time to press into the presence of the Lord. You have to make time to get insight into where God is leading you to go. You have to take that extra time. And this is part of the reason why we do this. Push away fleshly desires and put our soul focus and desire on God to hear what he has to say for us and where he's leading us. That's the first thing. Number two, fasting and prayer are coupled together. It is not just fasting and it's not just prayer. Bible says men are always to pray and faint not. You must always pray. You don't always have to fast when you pray, but you must have a lifestyle of prayer. But when you fast, it should not be void of prayer. Because if you fast without prayer, you're just starving yourself. Because you're not fellowshipping with God. You're not communing with God. You're not having that time with God. You're just on a hunger strike. And that's not going to do anything for you. So when you're on a fast, it must be coupled with prayer. And here's a third thing that might be a little bit controversial, but might as well just get this out the way. There are many different types of fasts that have come up over the years. Now, I personally will not recommend one very popular fast, and that's the Daniel fast. I don't recommend it, and I believe the Bible doesn't recommend it either. It wasn't even a fast, and I don't want to get too much into this today. But however, that fast is found in the book of Daniel. Chapter 1, long story short, him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come under Babylonian captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar takes them as captives and makes them work for him. And around verse 8, the king supplies them with food. And Daniel says he's not going to partake of that food that the king has given him, the food and wine. He's not going to partake of that. But he decides to go on a diet of vegetables and water. And one of the king's officials does not want him to do that. So Daniel says, test us for the next 10 days with it and we'll be well nourished. And by the end of the 10 days, of course, they're more well nourished than the people who are feasting on all the king's food. But understand something. That wasn't a fast. The Bible doesn't call it a fast. Daniel doesn't call it a fast. He did it because the Bible tells you that the reason why he wouldn't touch the king's food was because it was unacceptable and it would defile him. Understand that. It wasn't, I'm fasting and praying for whatever reason. It was because that food goes against the laws of God. The food that the king is given, there's different schools of thought. Some scholars believe that it was meat that was sacrificed to idols. But we can agree, and the Bible states that it was something that was unacceptable. And it would defile Daniel. So the reason why he stayed away from the king's food and stayed on vegetables and water was because he was trying to stay faithful to God. And he wasn't about to defile himself with food that was against the law. And many people turn around and they use that passage to say, well, that's the Daniel fast. And now they have Daniel fast cookbooks and Daniel fast recipes and all that stuff. And that in itself throws me off from the Daniel fast too, because that is one of the fasts that I see that has people more focused on food. And when you're fasting, you're not supposed to be focused on that. You're pushing that away. And if your fast is making you focus on food, then you're not fasting properly. If the fast that you're doing is making you focus on the thing that you're pushing away, you're not doing it properly. I remember there was a preacher that told a story one time about, I believe it was somebody that they went to Bible college with, and the kid was doing the Daniel fast. And he would walk around campus, I believe it was with like a party-sized bag of Tostitos. And I think some type of drink. I think it was some type of unhealthy drink. But he would walk around campus with a big bag, a party-sized bag of Tostitos tortilla chips, talking about I'm on the Daniel fast. And as I said, you have all these recipes and cookbooks and stuff. And I did a quick search of it yesterday. I searched up Daniel fast. That's it. And the first thing I see, recipes you can cook while on the Daniel fast. Things you can eat while on the Daniel fast. Doesn't work like that. And people might take issue with that, but it doesn't work that way. So I do not recommend the Daniel fast. It wasn't even a fast. Daniel did fast, but that wasn't a fast right there. So throw the Daniel fast away. Fast the right way. Now, here's the first thing I want to get into. Here's the first benefit of fasting and prayer. Go to Matthew 6. And let's see what the Bible has to say here. Here's the first benefit. Jesus himself did it and expected it of his followers. Matthew 6. Now, as I said, Jesus did it and he expected it of his followers. Now, understand this. Christ is an example unto us. The Bible lets us know that very, very clearly, wow, that Christ is an example to us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 that he was an example unto us of suffering, how to live free from sin. It said there was no guile found in his mouth. He did not sin, and he is that example unto us. 1 Peter 2, 21, 22, that area. The Apostle Paul also says, to follow him, 1 Corinthians 11, as he followed the example of Christ. So understand that Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, it was not just, he did not just put on a vain show of his power and say, I'm so great, all y'all simpletons bow down and worship me. It wasn't just that. He showed believers how they can operate, how they can live, how they can act. So he also fasted. And the way he conducted himself spiritually was also an example unto us. So in Matthew chapter 6, watch what he says here. Verse 16, he said, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth. That is the only reward that they will receive. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. That's good advice for even when you're not fasting. Verse 18, then no one will notice that you're fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. Watch this. Jesus said twice in this teaching, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. Not if you so choose to fast, if you feel like fasting, if the situation and circumstances permit you to fast. He said, when you fast, do X, Y, Z. That tells you that this was an expectation of Jesus. This wasn't something that he gave as a suggestion, but he expected his followers to fast. Also, Luke 5, go to Luke 5, verse 33. Watch what he says here. One day, some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking, And Jesus responded, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday, watch this, the groom will be taken away from them and then they'll fast." So Jesus said, while he's with his followers, there's no need for them to fast. Jesus is with them. Everything that they need is right there in front of them. There's no need to fast. But he said, there's coming a day where the groom is going to be taken away from them. And when that happens, then they'll fast. Then they will fast. Not then they might fast, or then they may decide to, some will, some will not. He said, then they will fast. So this is telling you that it is an expectation from Jesus of his followers to practice this spiritual discipline. Not to put it aside as something that is just fair, you know, for the older Christians and for the older believers, but something that all of his followers should pursue. And some people may say, well, how long should I fast? When should I fast? The Bible doesn't give you a specific amount of time to fast. Understand that. But I heard a preacher say this. No believer should not fast. One thing the Bible does not tell you to do is not fast. So while there may be specific times and specific durations, you shouldn't throw it away and push it to the side, because Jesus expected it. And it was something that was carried on in the early church. You see it right there. Jesus prophesied and said when he left, his followers would fast. And the early church carried it on. And I say that because some people go as far to say that it's not a command to the church and it wasn't something that they did. Not the case. I gave you that proof through scripture. But you also see outside of scripture, there is, if you will, a document called the Didache. I used to call it the Didache, but thank God for preachers who know more than me. It was called the Didache, and basically it was a manual for the early church. And the Didache tells you that the early church fasted 2 days a week. It was Wednesdays and Fridays. 2 days a week they fasted. So this wasn't something that just came up in the past 20 years. This was something that came from, well, was all the way in the Old Testament. Jesus did it, and it got carried on by the early church. And that's why you see them operating in things that many people don't operate in, because they did things that many people don't do. You understand that? So this wasn't something that just came up last week. This was something that the early church did, and this was something that Jesus did. So don't fall into that trap. Understand this also. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to begin his ministry with a fast. And then he overcame the enemy's temptations, and then his power, or demonstrations of the power of God, began to be seen. His miracle ministry started after that whole experience. So understand that if that played a part in his success, we as believers should want to be like Jesus. We should want to access all the things that he accessed. We should want to become who he wants us to become. Then we have to do the things that he wants us to do. We have to do the things that he did to see that happen. Don't throw it away. As I said, Christ is our example. So follow his example and you will see success. Don't give in to the modern spirit, the spirit of the age that tells you, no, you don't got to do that. That's too much. Don't do that. No. Press forward in the things of God. Access everything that God has for you to access. Don't throw it to the side and say, I'll take this, I'll take that. But you know that, I'll put it. No, 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 we don't need that. No, take everything that God has for you. And then you will see success in your life. So that's the first thing. Jesus did it, and he expected it of his followers. Here's the second thing. Fasting helps and aids in making big decisions. Understand this. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. It aids in making big decisions. As I said at the beginning, many people fall into the trap of using only human logic to make decisions. Or many people even make hasty decisions. And they carry that over into big life-changing decisions. But the thing is, human wisdom can only go so far. Human logic can only go so far. And as a believer, you have to make sure that you don't rely on the flesh to make big life-changing decisions, because the flesh is limited. You got to rely on the Holy Spirit. You got to rely on God's leading, because he knows more than you. He knows all things. He is all-knowing. So rely on him and tap into what he knows, so that you don't have to make any missteps, so that you don't go forward one day and then the next day, oh, I messed up here. You know, I'm going to change my path. No. Access his knowledge. Commit your way to him. Let him direct your path. And one of the ways you do that is through fasting and prayer. And you see that as you fast and pray, you position yourself to hear from God and make the right decision. Go to Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Watch what it says here. It says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch in Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, which is Paul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, they sent them, they laid hands on them and sent them on their way. Watch this again. Let me read that again. Verse 2. One day as these men were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. Now go down to the next chapter, Acts 14. Go to verse 19. A page over. Verse 19, watch what it says here. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out the city, supposing that he was dead. This is now Paul and Barnabas traveling and beginning to carry out this special work. But when the disciples gathered around him, verse 20, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening, verse 22, the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Now watch verse 23. Watch this. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they commanded them or committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Watch verse 23. When they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So you see here in two instances how prayer and fasting helped decision making. Number one, Acts chapter 13. It helped the church picked two people to send to do this special work. As they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit then spoke to them and said, pick Saul, which is Paul, and pick Barnabas, and set them apart for the special work I have to do for them. But you see in the next chapter, the work that began to get carried out, and it wasn't a light work. God said it was a special work. It wasn't a light work. So the right people needed to be sent. And you see in verse 19 that on this journey, while carrying out this special work, Paul gets stoned. He gets stoned. And if you read that whole chapter, they began to encounter problems and persecutions from the Jews and the Gentiles for what they're preaching. And the Jews and the Gentiles were ready to stone them another time. And they left, I believe it was Antioch. They left Antioch and moved over to another place. So this wasn't no light work. You couldn't send a pansy to do this. You couldn't send somebody who was halfway and would become fearful and wasn't well equipped to do this work. So they had to position themselves through fasting and prayer to hear the Holy Ghost tell them the right people to send. And when they did that, then the Holy Ghost spoke. Then you go over into the next chapter. And as Paul and Barnabas are appointing elders for the church to care for the new believers that they just got saved, they did it through prayer and fasting. They didn't just say, okay, that person would be well equipped, that person. No, through prayer and fasting, they appointed the right people for the job. They appointed the right leadership to care for God's people. Understand that. Don't ever neglect fasting and prayer in this area. Don't make decisions just hastily. Don't make decisions just based off of human logic. Make decisions based off of the one who knows more than you. Make decisions based off of what the Holy Spirit says. And many times you may need to get into a place of fasting and prayer. Push away all of the distractions. Don't tend to the flesh. Take times to shut yourself away with God to hear his leading. Understand that. There are certain times you may need to do that. So don't neglect it in that area. And doing this does not, I should say this as a disclaimer, that doesn't cancel out the leading of the Spirit in everyday life. As I said, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You don't need to go on a fast every single time you need to make a little decision. What should I wear today? Okay, I'm going on a 3-day fast. Father, what should I wear today? You start finding it out 3 days later. No. What should I eat today? You don't need to go on a fast for that. I'm not saying that. But there are certain times you may need to shut yourself away with God. And take the time to hear his leading on a certain matter. As I said, with big decisions. So that's the second benefit. Here's a third benefit of fasting and prayer. And this is a big one. Spiritual power is released through it. Go to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9. And I'll summarize this story. But a man brings his son who is possessed by a demon spirit. And he brings him to the disciples of Jesus Christ to cast the devil out of him. But there's a problem. The disciples aren't able to do so. So Jesus comes around and he sees this conversation going on and sees, you know, a little commotion going on. And he says, what's going on here? And the man pipes up and says, my son is possessed of the devil. XYZ happens to him. And I brought him to your disciples to cast the devil out of him, but they can't do it. They couldn't do it. It wouldn't work. Jesus gets mad and says, you faithless generation, bring the boy to me. And Jesus cast the devil out of him just like that. The disciples couldn't do it, but Jesus did it just in an instant. And the Bible says the boy was set free. And afterwards, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, how are you able to do that and we weren't? What was the problem? And watch what Jesus says here. Verse 28. And when he had come, this is Mark 9, verse 28. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Some translations add in fasting, some don't. But he says this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Understand this. There is a certain level of spiritual power that you cannot operate in until you put this into practice. Okay, but I thought every believer had power. I thought God gave every believer power. What's the problem? And that's true. But God has given it to everybody, but not every believer accesses it. Not every believer can operate in it. It's available to you, but not every person operates in it. The anointing and spiritual power is not just something that is just a strong flow of it is not just given to everybody automatically. It's not just given to every believer automatically. You see that with preachers. There are certain preachers that you get in their meetings and you hear them preach and you're like, my God, when will this end? Some of them, you're like, you know, they are good public speakers. They're good at what they talk about, but there's a lack of spiritual power. There's a lack of a demonstration of the power of God. There's a lack of weight on their words. And then you get into other preachers' meetings and it's like, whoa, Jesus ministry times two. It's like this person really grasped Jesus's type of ministry and they're operating in it. What's the difference? They carry a higher level of spiritual power. They carry a greater level of the anointing. And that doesn't just come out of thin air. God doesn't just pick and say that person's going to operate in a higher flow of the anointing. That person ain't. It doesn't work like that. There are things you do to get into that place. And in this case, Jesus tells you one secret to getting there. And you see that in practice in Jesus's life, as we read earlier. He started off his ministry going into the wilderness, praying and fasting. And that's why you see him coming out and confronting demons. Get out, get out, get out, get out. And they're not sitting there fighting him. They're not sitting there saying, no, I ain't coming out laughing at him. He came into the vicinity, the Bible tells you. He would walk into an area, come into the vicinity of people who were demon-possessed, and they start crying out, God, don't cast us out before our time. Why have you come to torment us? What's your problem? What was that? He carried a level of power that a lot of people didn't have. And that's why he could get the devil out of that boy in an instant, and the disciples couldn't. There was something that he had that they did not have at that point. It was a level of spiritual power. And one of the ways the Bible tells you that you can access that is through prayer and fasting. That is one of the ways you can access that. I heard a preacher say that if you are a minister, you should. No room for I ain't gonna do it. You should make prayer and fasting a part of your lifestyle. Because understand, many of the greats that we see, many of the preachers who are around during the healing revival, many of the preachers that we still quote today, praying and fasting was a part of their lifestyle. They did not just access what they accessed randomly. They did not just access that because God smiled on them one day. No, they did things that many people did not do. And a lot of them went and put this spiritual discipline into practice. They put it into practice and they did it a lot. And that's why the level of anointing that they carried was so high. That's why you hear a lot of their testimonies and they were like, things you don't even hear about today, because they did things that a lot of people did not do. They put this spiritual discipline into place, and that's why they saw things that many people don't see. But let me help you with something. That's not just left for them. That wasn't just for the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. That wasn't left there. This started with Jesus. It got carried on by the early church, and it's something that you can still put into practice today. If you are a person, you're in the ministry, if you're a preacher and you're going into the ministry, put this into practice and you won't be a preacher of the day. You won't be a dead preacher. You won't be a preacher who, you know, just becomes a motivational speaker and doesn't carry a level of anointing. But if you put this into practice, you become a preacher who carries a strong level of power that when you walk into a room, people can sense the anointing. When you come into contact with a demon, it's like you don't even have to work hard. You don't got to throw off your jacket and fling oil everywhere and sing 30 songs about the blood of Jesus and spend 30 minutes casting that devil out. No, you come into contact with that spirit and that spirit gets uncomfortable. And the minute you command it to come out. Just like that, out. When you put this into practice, you become a preacher who sees the type of things that Jesus saw. You become a preacher who sees the type of miracles and healing and demonstrations of God's power that Jesus saw. Don't neglect this practice. Don't throw it in the garbage. Don't pass it off as something that is not needed. Access it and you will begin to access a greater level of spiritual power. Understand that. This is something that you need to put in practice and you will see a greater level of spiritual power. So during this time, take the time to fast and pray. Take the time to put this spiritual discipline into practice. If you want to have a life that is different than your average Joe, if you want to have a life that is different than your average Christian, if you're a preacher and you want to see Jesus type miracles happen in your ministry, do what Jesus did. Put this into practice. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Take this time to spend time with the Lord. in a greater capacity than you would do in your regular life. And you'll begin to see things change in your life. You'll begin to see things change. I can give you story after story of preachers that happened for. I'm a testimony of that happening. I remember finances began to increase in my ministry on a fast last year. Up until that point, I'd been in the ministry, or I'd had my ministry for 1 year at that point. And finances would come in spurts here and there, but you know, the ministry was still new. We were nothing. We weren't making much coming in. Finances began to increase on a fast. I was on a fast. And that's when I began to get ministry partners. That's when the finances that were coming into my ministry began to increase. On a 21-day fast last year. Why was that? I positioned myself to hear from God. I positioned myself to receive direction from God. I positioned myself to see an increase in the anointing on my life and my ministry. And then the results began to be seen in the days, months, weeks, years after. So put this into practice once again, as I said, and you will see, I promise you, you will see the hand of God begin to be seen in an even greater measure in your life and in your ministry. You will begin to see things that you have never seen before because you did something that you didn't do before. I believe that'll be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, the first thing though, it always hinges on this. Everything always hinges on this. If you're not even a believer, this won't work for you. If you're not even saved, this won't work for you at all. Because you have to be a believer first. You got to be saved to access these things. That is the first thing you have to do. Before you say, I'm going on a fast, I'm going to go access spiritual power. No. Your heart got to be right with God. You got to be saved. That was the problem with Simon the sorcerer. His heart was not completely right before God. And he said, I want the spiritual power. He wanted it. But he said, I'm going to buy it. It was Peter, I believe, was like, what you talking about? Let your money perish. What you mean buy this spiritual power? You don't even understand what you're talking about. Your heart wasn't right before God. This is not something that you can buy. This is not something that you could spin the lottery and you'll get it. This is not something that you can do a 12-step program and you'll get it. You got to be saved first and foremost to even begin to access these things. So if that's you and you're watching me right now and you're not saved, there's never been a time in your life where you've made that decision to follow Jesus. There's never been a time in your life where you answered the Holy Spirit's call, answered the drawing of the Father to be saved. Then this is your time to make that decision and repent of your sins and become part of the kingdom of God. Then you can begin to access the benefits of the kingdom of God. This is your time to do it. And don't delay. Start 2024 off the right way. Start this year off the right way. Don't go through this year again being bound by the enemy. Don't go through this year being under the hold and the grip of sin. Let those weights fall off of you today and begin to live right before the Lord. And you will begin to see the benefits of that play out in your everyday life. I'm a living witness of that. So if that's you, I want you to pray with me right now. Settle your account with God. Get rid of sin. Sin, plain flat out. Sin don't do any good for you. Sin is destructive. There's a destructive power behind sin. Why would you want to live that lifestyle? It will ruin your whole life. It will tear your life completely apart. Why would you want to live in sin? God has a better way for you to live. So I want you to make that decision today. Answer the Holy Spirit's call. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was raised from the dead. He died for you and he came back to life and he's coming back again for you. Believe that in your heart. Then don't let that stay in your heart. Confess it with your mouth, the Bible said. Then you'll be saved. Easy just as that. I want you to do that with me right now. If that's you, I want you to pray after me right now, sincerely from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to sacrifice his life for my sin. I believe that he died and was raised back to life for me. And now I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now I receive the power, first and foremost, to live holy until you return. And I will also begin to access the benefits of being part of this kingdom from this day forward. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm now a child of God. And I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. If you just prayed with me and responded to God's call for salvation, I want you to now take the next step. I want to help you to begin to walk on this path of righteousness. Many people get to the point where they feel like, okay, I just got saved, but what do I do next? I want to help you with that. There's a link in the description that'll take you to a page on my website, and I want you to fill out the form there. And when you fill out that form, I'll send you some resources that will help you begin to walk on this path of righteousness and begin your walk with Christ. You don't have to walk this path alone. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, and now you also have my help. So I want to send you resources, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to become a strong believer. So go ahead and click the link now.
God has made a way for his children to be totally liberated from the power of sin. But many Christians don't understand this. In Marlon Benjamin's book, Undefiled, he teaches that Christ put an end to sin's control and gave us the ability to resist all its temptations when they come. Order your copy now on Amazon or marlonbenjamin.net.
What's up, everybody? It's Marlon Benjamin, and I want to challenge you to consider becoming a partner with this ministry today. You know, our partners commit to praying for us continuously, and they connect their finances to this ministry on a monthly basis. You know, God has allowed us to preach some powerful services over this past year, and we have seen God demonstrate his power in mighty ways, and we have seen people get saved and come into the kingdom of God. We've also been able to expand the reach of the gospel through YouTube, the podcast, and I'm Saved Now What, which helps us connect to those who are being saved through our online ministry and get them on the path of righteousness and help them begin their walk with Christ. Last year, we just connected ourselves and became partners with Lester Sumrall's Feed the Hungry. And we are providing meals to those who are in need on a monthly basis. So I want you to consider, prayerfully consider, becoming a partner of this ministry today. You can click the link in the description or go to marlonbenjamin.net, hit the Give Now page, and go to the partnership page. And you can see what we're doing and become a partner today. Thank you so much, and God bless you.